That was good singing again. We're turning to the word of the Lord tonight, to the second epistle of Peter, and the chapter 3. The second epistle of Peter and the chapter 3. And we will take the time this evening to read through the whole of this chapter. Second Peter chapter 3, commencing our reading this evening at the opening verse. Still our hearts as we hear the word of the Lord tonight. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Saviour, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of his word. Tonight we want to centre your thoughts upon verses 17 and 18, particularly the verse 18 is really our text this evening. And we want to think of the theme tonight of steadfastness in an evil day. Steadfastness in an evil day. And with God's word open before us, let's seek again the help of the Lord as we come to his word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee already for thy presence amongst us. We do bless thee for the singing of the hymns of Zion, for the singing of those hymns that exalt the Saviour and remind us, Lord, of the wonderful work that he has accomplished on his people's behalf. And our Father, tonight we do thank thee also for thy presence throughout this meeting already. And we look to thee, O God, that thou wilt come and bless us. O God, bless the public reading even of thy word. But now as we come to bring those thoughts that thou hast given us, even upon these verses of thy truth, we cry to thee for help. We pray that thou wilt anoint us with that Lord, fresh zeal for service. That Thou will touch our lips with that live coal from off the altar. That Thy Spirit tonight would lead us and direct our very thoughts and the very words that we would say. And we pray, O God, that each hearer tonight might, Lord, be captivated, as it were, by the Christ of God and by the word of the Lord. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt shut out every distracting thought. And grant our Father tonight that there will be the hush of eternity and the hush of the Lord upon this gathering. We pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Steadfastness in an evil day. In chapter 1 and the verse 14, the Apostle Peter speaks of his imminent death as he refers to the fact that he must shortly put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ had shown him. And just tonight, by way of information, I want to remind you that many of the disciples suffered a martyr's death. And the Apostle Peter, why, he was no different. For he was crucified for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, feeling himself unable to be crucified, even as the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he was crucified upside down, as his life was taken from him because of his faithfulness to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, these two books, these two epistles of Peter, are the parting counsels of the apostle. And he writes to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. But I want you to notice tonight those to whom he wrote. I want you to notice with me tonight, if you turn back to the first epistle in the chapter 1 and the verse 2, I want you to notice that he wrote to those who were chosen. He speaks of them there as being elect according to the knowledge of God the Father. I want you to notice in chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, he speaks to those that were cleansed. For he reminds them of how they were redeemed, bought back from the slave market of sin, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ. As we saw this morning, Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I want you to notice in chapter 2, and verse 2 of this first epistle, he reminds them that they are children. They are those that are newborn babes in Christ. They are those that have been adopted into the family and the household of faith. And he encourages them as such to desire the sincere milk of the word that they might grow thereby. And oh, my friend, tonight at the very commencement of this service, I would like to challenge each and every one in our gathering tonight and ask you the question, have I been describing you? Tell me, can you say, yes, I've been chosen in grace? Can you say, yes, I've been cleansed in the blood of the Lamb? Can you say tonight, yes, I'm a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Glory? I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Tell me tonight, are you saved? I want you to notice furthermore that in 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verse 7, he speaks to those that have cares, for he reminds them to cast their care upon the Lord, for he careth for you. And my friend, I just want to say this evening, because there may be some carrying a heavy burden tonight, and we would encourage you this evening to cast your care upon the Lord. And that word casting there is the very same Greek word that is used in Luke chapter 19 and the verse 35, where we read there that they took their coats and they cast them over the coat so that the Lord Jesus could sit upon them when he went in his triumphant entry in there on Palm Sunday into Jerusalem. But there is also another picture here in this word casting. It is the thought of taking a stone and casting it away. And the thought is here to take our cares and our worries and our distresses and to cast them from ourselves unto the Lord. The Lord who careth for his people.
But tonight I want to get down, as it were, to the theme of our meeting this evening. Because not only were they those that were chosen and those that were cleansed and those that were children and those who knew cares and troubles and worries and concerns, but I want you to notice that they were those who had a challenge to face. You see, the theme of 2 Peter is all about this being steadfast in an evil day. If you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 in the verses 3 to 7, I want you to notice that they were those who were called upon to live amongst those who were scoffers. In the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lusts. And I want you to notice these scoffers. They're doubting and they're challenging of the truth of God's word and of the promise of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment. I want you to notice something else about them. Their willful ignorance as they argue that everything has remained from the beginning of time even unto now. But the Apostle Peter reminds them of the flood. He reminds them of the fact that God has already judge the word. Is it any wonder tonight that we live in an age when there is that devilish plot to discredit the opening chapters of the book of Genesis, those chapters that recount for us not only the fact that there is a Creator God, a God before whom one day we must give an account of our lives, and also the fact that there was a flood and that Noah built an ark that kept him in safety and in refuge against that flood. For it proves that this God before whom we are accountable has already judged the world. But the thought tonight is, how are we to stand in the face of such an onslaught of evil? How are we to stand in the midst of such scoffers and those who would ridicule and mock and question and challenge the truth of God? And the answer to overcoming this challenge for the believer, I believe, is found in the verse 18, which is our text. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. I want to say, as I continue in those opening things, I want to say before you tonight that by growing in grace, the Apostle Peter here is not speaking of growing in saving grace. I'm just careful here that perhaps some of the little ones especially might wonder what he means. You see, we are saved by God's unmerited favour. Remember how the apostle reminded the Ephesians believers that they were saved by grace and that not of themselves, it was the gift of God. And this is not that which the apostle Peter is speaking of here. For there is not and there can never be any growth in saving grace at all. You see, men and women, the moment a sinner believes and trust in the crucified Lord, we were by the grace of God there and then justified. We were there and then completed, as it were, in Jesus Christ. And you know, if we should live until we're old and grey, and some of us are getting there, believe you me, we will never be more justified. We cannot receive a greater pardon, for we had it all at once, that happy day that fixed our choice on our Saviour and on our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, let me say this evening that God will not have a deeper or a purer affection in his heart toward us, the children of the Lord, than he had that very first moment we believed in Jesus Christ. For a sin as we ever had a vital connection with the Lamb of God, we were in grace. Oh yes, men and women, our faith may know increase. Our zeal for Jesus Christ and his cause may become warmer. Our love for the Saviour may become more ardent. Yet we shall never.
Excuse me.
Yet we shall never be more in grace than we were that first moment we came as sinners to Christ, in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free, the saints forever were and shall forever be. But the question tonight is, if it's not saving grace, what is it here that the apostle exhorts us to do when he says in those opening words of verse 18, but grow in grace? I want you to notice that growing in grace, firstly, is connected with our knowledge of Christ. Oh, some tonight are of the opinion, you know, that growing in grace is some airy-fairy thing, if I might use that term. However, growing in grace is not to be judged by age. Growing in grace is not to be judged either by our feelings. It is not true this evening to say that because we're more active in the church that we are necessarily growing in grace. Others content themselves with the most fleeting observance of the means of grace. And then they calm themselves, I fear, with that thought that they are growing in grace. And whilst there may be those, even this evening in our land, for all I know, like the Thessalonian believers, who make the imminent coming of Christ an excuse for not growing in grace. Growing in grace tonight, what is it? It is relevant to the mundane things of life, men and women. It is tithing, it is praying, it is patience in affliction, it is rewarding evil with good, it is the restraining of our tongue, it is growing in brotherly kindness and in love toward all men. These are the marks of a man or a woman or a young person growing into Christ. It is a day-to-day experience of the Lord as he orders each and every step. But most of all, notice it in our text, it is a following on to know the Lord. Growing in grace, men and women, is surely growing in love with Christ. And the way to grow in love with the Savior is to know more about Christ. For the more we know our Savior, surely the better we must love him. The more we discover of his beauties and of his excellencies and of his virtues and of his perfections and of his glories, the more our soul will be drawn out in love towards our Redeemer. I want you to notice that growing in grace is also growing in faith. Often our faith is so weak and so feeble. And why is it? Because we know so little about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, tonight, if we would remember that he is the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He is the sovereign, all-knowing God. He is the one before whom the devils fear and tremble. And oh, my friend, if we would grow in faith, this grace of faith this evening, we must keep our eyes upon Christ, for the more we know him, the more we think of him, the more our faith will increase. I want you to notice too that growing in grace is surely growing in courage. And is that not something that is needed in such a day as this? In a day when wickedness seems to abound? In a day when men scoff and ridicule the truth, the eternal truth of God's word. Oh, so many of God's people tonight are timid when it comes to defending the cause of Jesus Christ. But I want you to remember tonight what it was written of in Daniel chapter 11 verse 32, that the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. If we remembered the Lord, if we remembered his omnipotence, His almighty power. If we remember tonight that He is one that defends and remembers and cares and is concerned for us as children, what courage would it not give to our souls? But lastly, if we would grow in grace, surely we must also grow in brotherly kindness. And dear brother and sister in Christ, do we not lament tonight that there is so little, that there is too little, can we say it that way, of brotherly kindness in the Church of Jesus Christ? I don't believe we love one another as we ought. And it is surely because we do not love our Saviour as we ought. And we have not seen and meditated enough upon His love, that we do not have the love for others that we ought to have. Oh, I'm reminded tonight of how deeply the Lord Jesus loved us. Oh, remember that tremendous verse in John chapter 13 and verse 34, where the Lord Jesus Christ gave them that new commandment that He said was not a new commandment, that you might love one another. Listen for it. Even as I have loved you. That's the love that Jesus Christ demands from us as people, that we should love one another as Jesus Christ loved us. In other words, men and women, what I've been saying tonight is simply this. We will grow in grace as we grow in our knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That's what growing in grace is. But that leads me to another thought this evening. I want you to notice with me, and excuse me a wee minute, I'll keep this frog at bay. The benefits of growing in grace. I want you to notice firstly that it proves life. As it is in the temporal sphere, so it is in the spiritual. The greatest proof of the health of any living thing is surely that it grows. And so it is in the matter of spiritual growth. The Christian who is alive for God will be a growing believer. Oh, I want you to turn back with me this evening to the first chapter of this second epistle of Peter, and I want you to notice that he has already mentioned this thought of growing spiritually. In chapter 1, verses 5 to 11, I want you to notice the word "ad," for this word "ad" is of tremendous significance. You see, men and women, the word "ad" is actually the same word that means Joseph in the Old Testament. For Joseph was an adder. And if you were to take the time to study the life of Joseph, you would see these very same graces in the life of Joseph, even in that time whenever he was down as a young lad in the land of Egypt. We are to grow inwardly, and we are to grow outwardly. I want you to notice too that he speaks of those who do not grow. I want you to notice that he speaks of them in the verse number 9. And surely here are words that describe a backslider this evening. Notice these words. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Oh, the present has lost its power. That's what's happening here. The past has lost its significance. Here's a person that's not growing and cold at heart. I wonder, is that you tonight? The present has no power as far as the things of God is concerned. And the past, when you came to know the Saviour, has lost its significance, for you have forgotten that you were once purged from your old sins. I want you to notice, not only does it prove life as we grow in grace, but it checks corruption. It should be noted tonight that we're now getting, as it were, to the very context of what the Apostle Peter's warning against the apostasy of the last days really was. We're getting, as it were, to the very theme of our message. Those last days, men and women, they are already upon us. I'm not one for getting involved in those discussions all about how the Lord will come and what's going to happen and all the events that's going to take place. Oh, my friend, I think the Scriptures has so much more of profit to teach us whenever it comes to the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are challenged as we consider the coming of the Savior, what sort of men and women for God we ought to be. But I can tell you tonight that the last days are upon us. They commenced when the Lord Jesus ascended up to glory. Some 2,000 years ago. And let me tell you tonight, if the last days began then, we are most certainly in the last of the last days. We've already noted that Peter speaks of the scoffers, those walking in their own lusts, those that question the truth of the Word of God, not only by their words, but also by their ungodly lifestyle. They live as though there is no God. And so Peter exhorts us in the verse 15 to be diligent that we might be found in peace of Him, without spot and blameless. He encourages them and mentions to them the great need to beware of being led away by the error of the wicked and falling from their own steadfastness. And because of the corruption and because of the iniquity that's all around them, he says to them the only way to stand is by growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. As the day darkens, we should endeavour the more by the Lord's help to grow in grace. For Matthew Henry, commenting upon this verse, he penned these words: by how much stronger grace is in us, so much the more steadfast will we be in the truth. It proves life. It checks corruption. But I want to say tonight that growing in grace is good for the church. And there are two ways I believe that it benefits its members that are growing in grace. I want to say tonight that it is a carnal church that is not growing in grace. I want to remind you tonight of what the Apostle Paul put before the believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you turn over to that, the verses 1 to 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And how that he mentions there that he cannot speak to them as those that are spiritual, but as unto those that were carnal. Their lacking of growing in grace. The fact that there was envying and strife and divisions among them. They were a carnal people. Let me say something else. That for a church to grow in grace, it benefits the church that those who grow in grace are apt to teach. And as a result of this, the Church of Jesus Christ can no advance. Its members become more and more learned in the knowledge of the Scriptures and in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore they are apt to teach others. They are not in need of the constant care and the supervision of the oversight. But others can benefit from that care instead. And that's the lesson that the Apostle Paul sought to teach the Hebrew believers in Hebrews chapter 5, the verses 12 through 14. For he writes there, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you." Listen. "Again, what be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are in need such as have need of milk, and not strong meat." Growing in grace not only proves our life, it not only helps us to stand against corruption, it not only benefits the church, but I want you to notice that God is glorified. How can a carnal church, how can a church at war with itself, how can it bring glory to Christ? How can a believer tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine bring praise to the glory of our Saviour's name? As the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 15 and verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." How we are to grow in grace? In the scriptures, men and women, the church of Jesus Christ is described in many ways. It is described as being, we are soldiers of the cross. It is described as being a garden. The church is described also as being a city set upon a hill. But remember too that we are spoken of as being trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And keeping that thought tonight in our minds, believer, that the church is as a plant, it will help us to understand something of how we are to grow in grace. I want you to notice that we are to grow proportioned. In chapter 1, I want you to notice of this second epistle, the apostle, we've already indicated, he mentions the fact of adding these virtues to faith. Faith, you see, is the foundation. Faith is the basis of all spiritual growth. And we are to add virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity or love, as we would call it. There is to be that growth internally. There is to be that growth externally. We're to grow in a proportioned fashion. I want to say also, we will grow gradually and we will grow steadily. Well, maybe tonight, like me, you mourn, believer, that we seem to grow so little and we seem to advance so little in our knowledge of our Saviour Jesus Christ. But notice there will be a gradual, steady growth. You remember how the Lord Jesus speaks in Mark 4 and verse 28, "Of the ear bringeth forth fruit of itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear." Do you notice there is that gradual growth? And so it is in the Spirit. Let me say something else, that there will be a growth downward. The plant must, if it's going to survive and bring forth fruit, grow those larger roots. And the prophet Isaiah, referring to this, though thought whenever he spoke of the spiritual growth of the remnant of Israel, he spoke of them in Isaiah 33 and the verse 31, taking root downward and bearing fruit upward. Oh, it reminds me tonight, dear child of God, that we are to grow in humility. We are to esteem others more highly than ourselves, remembering that we are but sinners saved by grace. Oh, you remember how Job put it in chapter 42 and verse 6, "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." We are to grow downward. But that leaves me tonight, and with this I close, to leave one final thought with you, and I'll be very brief, because I don't believe that in free Presbyterian circles I need to really emphasize this. But how are we to achieve spiritual growth? We grow in grace by our attendance of the means of grace. Like those of Berea who Paul commended, we should search the scriptures daily. There should be an attendance of the place of prayer, for men ought always to pray, Christ said, and not to faint. Some, however, are tremendously busy in the work of God, but are they so busy that they have little or no time in the closet place? We can only grow men and women if our lives are disciplined, if our lives are lived in conformity to the commands of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And we can only advance as we keep on being filled with His Spirit. The Scriptures remind us tonight that the Lord gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey Him. Steadfastness in an evil day. A challenge, Christian, for you and I to face. How can we face it? How can we remain true to the Lord in such a wicked day and generation? By growing in grace. By growing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. By following on to know the Lord. May the remainder of this year be a time for each and every one of us to know what it is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Saviour.